Willie and D. Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Final hour of the show on Titans training camp eve, if you will. Heavily slanted towards the NFL today as we get set for the 2024 season. But one thing to keep in mind, tune into 94.9 The Fan tonight over in Germantown because the Sounds are home and they take on Norfolk. Pregame at 5:20, first pitch 5:35. Coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app, 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball, 94.9 The Fan. Presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Claude Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Time to bring Teron Davenport to the microphone, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. We'll have more on that here in just a moment. TD, are you poised? Are you rested? Are you ready for training camp?
Oh, yeah, man. It's like the night before Christmas. I can't wait to get out there. And obviously, we won't be on the field tomorrow, but getting to interact and ask Rand Carthon, Anthony Robinson, and Brian Callahan some questions. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, and we all await and are excited about sort of the State of the Union as they begin practice. And so we had our show based around this earlier today, TD. Want to hit you with the main question. D. Mace, and look, everybody's at the peak of optimism at the start of training camp. Hope springs eternal. D. Mace texted me an article that had the top 25 players in the league that have yet to turn 25, and the Titans don't have anybody on that list. And it probably shouldn't surprise anybody, but then we took it a little further. We looked at who are the best players on the Titans 25 and under. And it's a very underwhelming list. There's a lot of guys that they really need to pop to catch up. So I'm really concerned about that. So other than Will Levis, to me, that's the biggest big picture question going forward is the 25 and under group, what do they have?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you have is a roster of guys who are relatively proven on the verge of breaking out, and then you have guys who are unproven. I think Tajay Spears, Chig Okonkwo, Josh Wiley, you know, Rashad Weaver we could look at. You look at Will Levis, there's a bunch of guys, J.C. Latham, you know, there's a lot of guys that, you know, can be potential candidates to be on that top under 25, but, well, no, Will Levis is 26, never mind.
Levis is 25, the list was haven't turned 25 yet, so Levis was not eligible for this one anyway. You can, it's all arbitrary when you want to start the cutoff of being a young player. So Levis, having just turned 25, is entering into that stage. So it's a lot of guys. We looked at 24 and under, the guys who are still 24, Petit Frere, Chig, Roger McCreary, and then the real young guys like Latham, who they just drafted, Sweat, who they just drafted, Tajay Spears, Peter Skoronski, second-year guys. But that's not a list that has you super excited, but the jury's still out, right? It's they need some late bloomers in here.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, this is a team that has not drafted well. They have not gotten good success out of their draft classes over the years, right? And I think that's really the main thing, and we'll see how last year's class, this year's class, we'll see how they do.
We're talking with Teron Davenport discussing the Tennessee Titans as they get prepared to start training camp tomorrow. Now, TD, looking at this offense, because when I saw the article, TD, it really took me back because I didn't, you know, when we talk about the Titans, at least for the last couple of years, yeah, we point out their inefficiencies and everything else. But to actually see that article and know that they don't have anyone under that age that we look at and say, okay, they can build on this guy. That's a huge problem. And again, I'm not sitting here pointing fingers at the last regime. I'm not. But if indeed they want to sort of keep pace with the teams in their division, this is not a good way to do it. When you don't have that young group of guys that can usher you into the next wave or the next, you know, phase of the Tennessee Titans. Right now, they just don't have it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's especially the case considering what the Texans have been able to do, they have the reigning offensive and defensive rookie of the year, right? Mm-hmm. So you look at what they've added to that, they're in really good shape. So I think it's definitely something to think about. And you can't go back and put the toothpaste in the tube, so to speak. So their class is going forward. I mean, I think you look at, you know, the class with Skoronski and those guys, you know, Skoronski himself, right, and Will Levis, you know, that's a really good start to it, and Tajay Spears, too. So now, you know, you're looking at the foundation starting to be built with that class, and this year we'll see how they build off of the, you know, offensive linemen that they got and some of the corners that could fill in. I think they're in good shape going the right direction, but you're right. They're a step behind because of the draft classes that have struggled, right? And you look, you know, Jeffrey Simmons was the first round pick to sign a second deal with the team in like 5 years. So, you know, that lets you know right there that things have not been exactly kosher and there's still room for improvement.
Now, TD, on the eve of Jordan Love saying, and listen, I'm not going to start camp because I want a new contract. And listen, however you feel about Jordan Love, the guy played tremendous football the second half and into the playoffs.
Yep.
And they're in a situation where they got to sign him because he's shown them enough. I've always said about Will Levis, listen, because of his age, and everybody may not feel this way, TD, he has to prove this year that he is the guy that the Titans need to have in their mind after the season. Okay, we can build on him. If they don't have that definitively in their mind, they need to go out and search for a new quarterback. Because if you don't, you're continuing to push yourself behind these other quarterbacks, I mean, other teams that have already found their quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, the clock is ticking. They have to definitely figure that out. And I think what they've done this year has been really good in taking those mm-hmm. steps to do so. You shored up the offensive line. You added some weapons. You invested in the defense to where if all goes well, he's not going to be under pressure to put up 30 a game, you know. And I think you look at the coach you brought in. Like everything, put it this way, D-Mace, there's no – if Will Levis doesn't have success, like you can't make an excuse. Like you can't make one because everything is right there for him to be in a good situation. And it's just one of those things where, okay, let's see what he does with it. I think he's going to – take that step forward and show that he's deserving of, you know, having these keys going into when they get the new stadium and all of that.
Now, Willie brought this up, not today. He brought up a little bit today, and he and I discussed it off air, but he brought it up last week, the whole Dak Prescott. And, you know, what is Dallas going to do with him? I think Dallas is going to sign him back, but that's not 100% sure it will happen. If they get into the offseason, if they get through this season without signing Dak back, the Titans don't know whether Will Levis is this team's quarterback or not moving forward. Do they go out and explore, you know, bringing in a veteran quarterback like Dak Prescott, who they know they're going to have to pay north of $55
million? Yeah, I think Dak is a top 10 quarterback, to be honest with mm-hmm. you. But my whole thing with Dak is, look, man, stop thinking about what other people consider you to be. Like, just go out and play your game. Like, if you want to go run and scramble and use your mobility, use it, you know? I think that's the case with Dak. And he just gets a bad rap. Like, this top 10 list that came out, you know, he was number 10. If on it at all. But, you know, he should be solidified as a top 10 quarterback. I believe that firmly. And, yeah, I mean, if he could come here, I would take him in a heartbeat.
Teron Davenport is with us, ESPN.com, podcast Talking with TD, joins us throughout the week, and of course, poised for another great year of coverage for the Tennessee Titans. Here is something from ESPN's ranking of the roster going forward, and this is one to sort of illustrate how much they're going to be counting on veterans this year, especially around Levis. Here is something, this is going from Aaron Schatz, and you may have seen this, TD, but for people that haven't, the three wide receivers, and this is, we know this is the case, DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd, will all be 30 or higher by the end of the season. And here's where it gets interesting. If those three guys end up as the three Titans' top guys in receiving yards, Tennessee would be the first team since the 2011 Patriots, Wes Welker, Deion Branch, and Ocho Cinco to have their top three receivers age 30 or older. So that's kind of a rare category, but it's certainly, you would think, for the Titans to be good, unless Treylon Burks makes a big jump, that it very well could be those three guys that lead the team in receiving yards.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is what happens when, you know, you draft Des Fitzpatrick, like you trade up to get him in the fourth round, and Amon-Ra St. Brown is sitting right there. This is what happens when you trade A.J. Brown away. This is what happens when things don't come to fruition with Treylon Burks. You have to go out and you have to sign veterans, and, you know, you don't always get the A-list veterans that are available. You know, they did once and they didn't another time. So I think it's just a result of again, going back to the drafting. You know, that could really cripple a franchise.
Now, T.D., what do you think is going to be the toughest job for Brian Callahan as he enters into his first training camp with the Tennessee Titans? Put aside the quarterback, because we know, you know, every new coach that takes a job, first and foremost, they're trying to figure out if they have the quarterback or not. So that could be a problem, but then that could be a good thing too. But beside that, what would it be?
Well, I think overall it's going to be balancing, okay, how much do I want to get practice with in preseason games and how much do I want to rein back and not show? I think figuring that out is going to be the main thing. And also figuring out how much he wants the starters to play, because these are all guys in a new scheme, right? And so you want to get them time, valuable time, as much as possible. And that's going to come, obviously, in the joint practices with Seattle, but also you got to, you know, balance that time in preseason games. And we know in the past, you know, starters, most of them didn't play at all. Callahan has already said he's going to play them, but how much is he going to play them?
T.D., what have you learned as you've tried to ask around? Because I think this is something that we're all going to be observing, is how teams handle the new kickoff rules. I get a lot of people saying this is going to be really something. It's going to really make a big impact on the game. We're going to see a lot of stuff. Other people, not so sure. What do you think the Titans have up their sleeve? And, for example, could a guy like Treylon Burks end up being a guy that sort of sparks his career by this whole aspect of the game that's now there?
Yeah, well, I talked to Colt Anderson about that a lot, you know, in his press conference, and pulled him aside a little bit and talked to him about, like, especially the onside kick, because that's a whole new thing. Like, you have to literally declare that you're doing an onside kick, kind of like you declare a tackle eligible, which is crazy. But
so a surprise onside kick is not allowed anymore?
No, it's definitely allowed. You just, like I said, you have to declare it. So, yeah, it's absolutely allowed. But, I mean, you remember the alignment is different in after these rules. So you have to literally declare it. So you do have that. But I think they're going to put a lot into it. You know, Colt, he actually talked about, you know, how much XFL film that they're going to watch. And he said that, you know, that's what pretty much every team is going to watch, and it's going to be interesting because it's only 1 year of film to watch on that, because it didn't happen last year or this past season when they merged. So I think they're going to be very creative with it. Brian Callahan, when I asked him about it, you know, he said it's going to be like chaos on preseason game day. So I'm looking forward to it.
give us another reason, exactly. Something interesting to chew on besides all the normal things when we watch these preseason games.
Of course, it's going to be interesting to see how teams sort of adjust, you know, to this new rule and how they implement certain players back there. Do they use a two, you know, returner style? Do they use one returner and use the other returner as more of a blocker? It's going to be interesting to see, because it's all about, I think, now strategy on how you employ your kickoff return. Looking at the inside backer right now, TD, obviously they got Jack Gibbons and KMJ slated as the inside backers, and then Cedric Gray and Otis Reese are their backups and so forth and so on. Do you think it remains that way with this inside linebacker? Because that's going to be one of the positions that is watched very closely, because you got a new guy in Kenneth Murray Jr., and then you got Jack Gibbons, who played okay last year. He wasn't great, but he was okay. But you draft a guy, Cedric Gray, in the fourth round, and you have Otis Reese from last year.
Yeah, I think you add Chance Campbell to that mix, too. It'd be a really good competition. My thing is, I think, you know, when you look at guys coming into the league, it's typically tough to, you know, come in and show and prove right away and play at your top speed, because everything is a big adjustment, right? And, you know, everything's swirling around. And I think when you look at Cedric Gray, there's going to be a point, you know, whether it's one of the preseason games or a practice, where he just balls out and everything is just going to fall into place, and all of a sudden you're going to start seeing him make plays. So I think eventually that's what's going to happen. And until then, Jack Gibbons is going to be the guy. And the thing with Jack Gibbons, you know, obviously, you know, you're losing a bit when it comes to the, you know, athleticism, but being able to diagnose and read stuff, I mean, he's really good there. So it's going to be a cool balance just watching that work out. But I think eventually Cedric Gray is going to overtake him.
Well, TD, I know you're excited, man, as I am, but probably not as excited than you are, because you actually get to be out there. But thanks for coming on with us once again. You can hear TD every Monday on this airways right around this time. And then you can, you know, listen to the podcast, Talking with TD. You always have something special on Talking with TD. But thank you, TD. See you out in camp this week sometime.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate it, man. I look forward to it. You guys take it easy.
All right. Teron Davenport joining us on the show. Stay tuned. We're coming back, and when we come back, we're going to bounce around the AFC South. The Athletic did a good piece on big question leading into training camp for all 32 teams. So we're just going to look at the three, the HIJ, Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and see what the Athletic had. We'll bounce them off D-Mace and see what he thinks, as we'll find out what the Titans are up against here on Training Camp Eve, 102.5 The Game.